Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to start in verse 14. And if you got something to take notes, I'd encourage you to grab that. I know we're out of these now, but if you caught one of these and you haven't filled it up just yet or heaven full, hell empty notebooks, then grab that as well. But Luke chapter 4 is where we're going to be. And I'm going to start in verse 14, read out of the NIV, the New International Version. And as you're turning there, I want to give you some quick context, because we're like parachuting in to a specific portion of Scripture. And I want you to know like where we're jumping into. So this is basically the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth, okay? So that's important context. Like, that's where we're beginning. In fact, I'm getting real nervous about this piggy bank. I'm going to, like, kick it, because y'all know I get excited when I preach. So I'm just going to move that a little bit. That way I'm not thinking about it and you're not thinking about it. But Luke chapter 4, verse 14, here's what it says. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, that's churches. He was teaching in their churches, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, this is his hometown, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, so it was the day to go to the church building, he went into the church, as was his custom. Now notice something before we continue reading. It was a habit of Jesus to be in church. Oh, God, you don't know, Pastor, I meet God in the woods, you know, in the wilderness. Oh, you know, when I'm on that golf course, oh, God really speaks to me. That's my church. Well, that wasn't Jesus's church, okay? He went to the building. Can I get an amen in God's house? Come on, can I get a better amen in God's house? You're here, right? Like, he came to the building. It was a part of his habit, part of his routine. If it's important to Jesus, it should be important to us. And he stands up and he reads. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. This is the Old Testament. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." Anybody getting stirred up a little bit as Jesus is reading this? "To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone, like they're watching in the church, what's he going to say next? And he began by saying this, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Like, I hope y'all catch the importance of this. This is he wasn't holding a mic, didn't have them back then, but this was a mic drop moment for Jesus. He's like, "Hey, everything you've read your whole life growing up in church, Isaiah chapter 61 is what he's quoting. It was all about me. And I just so happened to be at that place today also, and it's about me. It's fulfilled in me." I don't know about y'all, but I wish I was there. What an incredible moment to say, "Jesus, the Messiah, it is me." Verse 22, "All spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips." But notice here that things begin to turn in that church service, okay? They were going well, but it's about to get violent. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you're going to quote this proverb, this popular saying to me, 'Physician, don't just heal other people, heal yourself.' And you're going to tell me, 'Do here in your own hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you, there were a lot of widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the whole land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian. And all the people in the church service were furious when they heard this. So they got up, they drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built." And they weren't sightseeing for the view, friend. They did this to throw him off the cliff. But, I love this, verse 30, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Jesus pulls a Vision from Marvel Studios, y'all, and he just like phases on through the crowd. He's like, yes, I came to die and to be resurrected, but this is not my time. Please excuse me as I move on through. If you're taking notes in church today, I hope you'll write this down. This is the title of part one of this series on miracles, really an intro to the series. Here it is, The Miracle That Never Happened. You chew on that for a moment. The miracle that never happened. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. And God, I've got great faith and expectation for what you're going to do in this service. God, you did a great work in first service. And I just believe for this one, God, that you're going to move, not necessarily in the same way, but in a mighty way nonetheless. And I pray, God, that you would move in every heart, in every life. God, I know we all need different things, but the amazing things about the Holy Spirit is you can speak a direct word at the same times, even a different word at the same time to each and every single one of us. And one word from you changes everything. So may we lean into the text, may we grow in our faith, and may we continue to become the church you've called us to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a couple of big takeaways from this passage. One in particular, point number two, but point number one is just as important. And really, we need point one before we get to point number two. So I don't got a lot to tell you, but I think it's impactful. So I hope you'll write this down. Again, intro message to the series. The first is this from that passage. Number one, we see here that God hasn't shut down his business, and neither should you. There's some COVID-19 stuff mixed in there as well, okay? But God hasn't shut down his business, so don't you dare try to shut down his business for him, all right? That's verses 18 through 19. You see, from the very beginning, Jesus lets everyone know right out the gate what his mission is, right? Like he's got three and a half years of ministry that he's about to do on planet Earth, and before he steps out, he says, hey, by the way, this was the mission from the beginning. This mission was really all about me and what I'm going to do and the movement that I'm going to start. And so it's about to happen. He shares his mission and then he goes and he fulfills his mission. And so if you love Jesus, and I believe a lot of you do, if you want to follow Jesus, and I believe a lot of you do, don't you think you should know his mission and what he's all about? So can I break it down simply? I want to teach you before I preach to you. And y'all know me, I'm going to preach in the middle of teaching. But still, here's some four things you need to write down. What Jesus highlights from Isaiah chapter 61. Here's his mission. Number one is this, to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. To preach good news. And I love that Jesus, and we'll talk about this at the end, he says to the poor, right? The people that have been cast out and cast down, that's who I want to give some good news to. That's the first one. Number two is this. The mission of Jesus, secondly, is to heal the hurting. This is physical healing, mental healing, spiritual healing. I got good news for you, friend. If you're broken and something needs to be fixed, Jesus is the fixer. He doesn't just get you back to where you were. He does immeasurably more than you could ask, think, or imagine. Number three is this. The mission of Jesus is to free the captive. If you're here today and you're shackled to your past, you're shackled to sin, maybe you're being attacked demonically, Jesus says, you know what? I'm here to set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's the third mission of Jesus. I hope God's stirring in you right now. Number four is this. Jesus says, I want to light the dark. This is salvation. Jesus is like, I don't want to just make you feel good in a church service. Oh, wow, how wise I am. No. Jesus wants transformation on the inside of you. What good is that you would hear the good news but not respond to the good news. And so Jesus is like, I know things are dark now, but only me. I'm the one that can light up the darkness. I'm the one that can turn off the dark because of my glorious, marvelous light. This is the mission of Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, you need to know that. You need to have that down, some place that you can see often. This is what he's all about. And again, after he makes this big announcement, you see him later do exactly what he said he would do. His ministry, if you don't believe me, read the four Gospels. His ministry was marked by miracles and marked by the supernatural. And in the Gospels alone, check this out. In the Gospels alone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and little John, there are somewhere around 36 miracles. There's a lot more in Acts and moving out through the rest of the New Testament. There's miracles in the Old Testament. But in those four books, there's 36, somewhere around there, miracles that are listed. And maybe you're wondering, like, why are you not sure on the number? Here's why. If you've read the Gospels, you know that, for example, in Matthew, there will be a miracle. And in Luke, there will be a miracle as well. And it sounds a lot like the one in Matthew, but there's like a slight different perspective on it. And so you're not sure, is it the same miracle or a similar miracle that Jesus just repeated? You know what I'm saying? So it's somewhere around 36. I'm going to break it down for you. This is going to encourage you. Here's what we see in the Gospels. There are 17 bodily cures. 17. This is somebody that's got an issue physically in their physical body. They've tried other things. It hasn't worked. And Jesus heals them. Like, doesn't that encourage you today? That even if there's something wrong in your physical body, Jesus is all about that healing life. And he can heal your physical body. There's also in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 6 deliverances of demons. So people that were being oppressed and possessed by demons, and Jesus supernaturally delivered them because of his power and for his glory. There's also this. There's 4 people raised from the dead, and Jesus is one of those. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty awesome, pretty epic. It's not just every day that somebody's dead and all of a sudden they're alive again. Jesus did it. And lastly, there are 9 miracles over nature. So that's the stories where there was a storm and Jesus calmed the storm and Jesus intervened and something happened in the supernatural that directly affected what was happening in the natural, weather-wise, and things like that. But here's the deal. I give you those numbers just to kind of highlight some things for you. But honestly, you can forget that number 36. If you're frustrated, like, why is it 36? Could it be 37? Oh, no, Pastor, it's 37. Doesn't really matter. Here's why. At the end of the 4 Gospels, in John chapter 21, I love this. You love this too. I just know it. Verse 25, here's what it says. Jesus did many other things as well. Many other things. And this is so cool. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Isn't that awesome? They're like, forget libraries for a second. There's not enough square footage anywhere on planet Earth. You better go visit another planet. There's not room. And we're talking 3.5 years of ministry. What are you saying, Pastor? Miracles were the norm when Jesus is involved. Miracles, supernatural, it's incredible. They were happening all the time, but it gets better. Jesus, in another place in John chapter 14, he lets us know that not only is this his mission, but it is now our mission. Here's what it says, chapter 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, this is Jesus' own words in red in some of your Bibles. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Come on, somebody. I hope something's stirring in you. Jesus says, yeah, all those things I just showed you on the screen, they are awesome. But if you believe in me, even greater things. Like, it's hard for me to think of something greater than somebody being risen from the dead, right? But Jesus is like, that ain't nothing compared to what I want to do in you and through you after I ascend back to heaven. Because I'm going to the Father, verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So I came here to encourage someone. I came here to encourage someone today that Jesus is still in the miracle-working business. He has not closed up shop. There was no physical ailment, mental, like spiritual, whatever you're going through. Yes, it may be over your head, but it is still under God's feet. He has all authority and all power. Disease and sickness and, dare I say, COVID-19 have nothing on Jesus. He's powerful. He has not closed his business. And so don't you dare try to close it for him. Even greater things are available to those that believe Christ's covenant. We must continue on the mission of Jesus. We must never stop preaching the good news. We must never stop praying for miracles. Jesus came to heal the sick. He came to set the captive free. And Jesus came so the lost would be found. It's who he is, it's what he's all about. Here's the second big takeaway, and honestly, this is the reason why this passage is in the Bible. What I just said is very important, and hopefully there's something stirring on the inside of you, but you cannot miss point number two. Here it is. Those with the greatest access are in the biggest danger. Let that sink in for a second. Process that for a moment. I'm going to explain it, but process it. Those with the greatest access are in the biggest danger. That's verses 22 through 24. If you had the text still open, which is a really good idea, we're the kind of church, you don't just close it afterwards because we're not done with the Bible after we finish reading, right? We're going to study it together. We're going to dig in together. So open it back up if you need to. But notice from the text that Jesus's hometown church, they were impressed but not persuaded. I almost called the message that because really that's the big idea. Like, they liked what Jesus had to say for the most part, right? Like, oh, wisdom. Those are some golden nuggets. Those are some tweetable phrases. Like, I kind of like that. They were impressed, but they were not persuaded. They liked the way he talked sometimes, but they did not believe he was the Messiah. They were impressed, but not persuaded. Here's what they say if you got the text open. And Bible scholars will tell you the distinction I'm about to show you is critical. Here's what they say. His hometown church. It's like him growing up in Cyprus in Christ's covenant being his hometown church. That's where he comes back to. That's where he's at when he's in town. This is his hometown church. And here's what they say about Jesus. They say this. We have heard what you did in Capernaum. They didn't say this. We know what you did. They say, we heard what you did, quickly followed by, prove yourself to us. His own hometown. We heard about that other town. It sounds good, but would you show us something right now? Can I tell you this, friend? Jesus didn't and shouldn't ever have to prove himself to us. Never. He's not a magician doing a magic trick for our applause. Right? And so he's like, no, I'm not going to show you. I don't have to prove myself to you. I hung the stars. What have you done lately? Right? It's like, I know who I am. Who are you? But they didn't know who he was, did they? What do they say? Isn't this Joe's kid? Right? That's what they say. They're like, isn't this Jesus? Like he's got a good beard now because he's 30 years old, you know? Like, but you remember? Isn't this the dude that we play kickball with behind the church, you know, like back in the day? Like, isn't this the kid that like he had his other, you know, family and they would get jealous of him because he was always doing the right thing? And by the way, wouldn't that be hard to be the sibling of Jesus? Just saying. Talk about living up to those expectations. They're like, Frankie, like, isn't this the son of that guy that made your family a table last year? What are you saying? They couldn't get past that hometown kid. When they looked at Jesus, they saw a carpenter's son. When they looked at Jesus, they saw their classmate growing up. I'll say it to you this way. The natural blinded them from seeing the supernatural at work. And Jesus should have had a home field advantage, but it turned into a disadvantage at home. That should have been the place. Hear me. That should have been the place. Nazareth, his hometown. He spent more time there than anywhere else on planet Earth. It should have been the place where revival broke out and a great move of God broke out, but they couldn't see past the carpenter's son. Like, hear me. This is a warning to us. It's a warning. The Messiah, the one they had been reading about, the one that they longed for, he was standing right in front of them and they couldn't see it. I wonder what's right in front of you that you can't see. I wonder what's right in front of you that you're focused on the natural when God wants to do something in the supernatural. Now, we stopped reading at verse 30, but if we continued on, verses 31, directly after this, all the way through verse 44, we see this. Jesus did many miracles, but in another town. Don't believe me? Read it for yourself. In fact, most of your Bibles, the heading over that passage, that chunk of scripture is many miracles. So question, rhetorical, don't answer out loud, answer it in your heart and mind. Did Jesus have the same power in Nazareth that he did in another town? The answer, of course, is yes. But the question is why? Why did it not happen in Nazareth? We see in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, it was because of their unbelief. They didn't believe. They didn't have faith that he was the Messiah. Revival should have broken out there, but it didn't. And as you read this passage of scripture, and as you read the Gospels and what Jesus did on this earth, most people focus on the miracles, and we should and we will in this series. But when I read this passage, I don't focus on what happens next. I focus on what should have happened in Nazareth that didn't happen in Nazareth. The miracle that never happened. The miracle that was available for them. The miracle that was right there. They were on the edge. And instead of believing, they wanted him to do a magic trick for them. And then when he gives some examples, which I'll talk about in a second, they didn't like those words. They weren't impressed at all anymore. And their disbelief turned into them being disillusioned. And then they tried to put Jesus to death. And friend, it can happen in your life that disbelief can make you disillusioned, where all of a sudden you start seeing things unclear. You think you see them the right way, but you're not seeing them the right way. And so really this passage is a warning to church people like us. It's a warning because, write this down, what is consistently taken for granted will eventually be taken away. It's a warning, friend. It's a warning. What is consistently taken for granted will eventually be taken away. Church, we've got to be careful not to take for granted who God is. We got to be careful not to take for granted what God has done for us, because we can too become jaded like his own home church. We too can become angry like this church. Now, if I had more time, I'd go into more depth on why the church service turned into attempted murder. Like, I've seen some church services turn before, but never like that, right? It's a big change. Dropping the mic. It's all been about me. I'm here. I can set you free. I can heal you. Whatever you have, I'm enough. But all of a sudden, I'm trying to kill Jesus. If I had more time, I'd go into it, but I'll just give you the headlines, the highlights. The reason why is twofold. Why they tried to kill him. The first is this: the examples Jesus gives of miracles in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha, the prophets, the examples he gives were about Gentiles. You're like, what in the world does that mean? We're Gentiles. In the Jewish culture, where they were in a Jewish church. Jews, they hated Gentiles. Like hated. Not just like 6 feet apart, like I don't want to be in the same place. I'll cross over to the other side of the street kind of hate. So here's what Jesus does. The two examples he gives, he uses Gentiles instead of Jews. Here's what this means. Jesus was literally saying, they did not like this, obviously. He's literally saying, those Gentiles are more worthy of my ministry than you. That'd be like me saying people outside Christ's covenant are more worthy of my time than you. Wouldn't make you feel good either, right? That's how they felt. But it's twofold why they get so angry. The second is this, and I love Jesus, y'all. The straight baller tells it like it is. Doesn't care if you're offended or not. Here's what he says. Those examples, he uses a woman and a leper. Like Jesus breaking all kinds of barriers back then. Women and children were the lowest of the low in that culture. Should not be that way, but that's just reality for that culture. And so all the people in the church are like, you should have used a man's example. How about a woman? But not just that, that leper, that's someone who was ceremonially unclean. They couldn't even go inside the building. So that sent them over the edge. Somebody we can't even touch. Somebody that's got a very contagious disease that you can see. Like, no, you can't use those. They didn't like it, but us, we should love what he said. Because again, we're Gentiles. I don't know if you're like me or not. I think you're like me in a little bit of ways. And this is what I mean, that you've probably been cast out a time or two. You've had people maybe belittle you a time or two. Maybe you got somebody in your family. They hold you to a way higher standard than they even hold themselves to. Like maybe you got close friends that they're always putting you down and it's passive aggressive, right? Like you wish they just come out and say it, but you are pushed away, you are pushed down, you are cast out. And if you're anything like that, can I tell you something? Jesus came for you. Jesus wants to move in your life. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Rich folk, they can take care of themselves. Jesus is like, man, I came for the poor. Jesus is like, I came for the Gentiles. People cross to the other side of the road, not even to walk, like don't even want their Gentile dust to get on them. I came for them. I'm telling you, if you've ever been neglected or maligned or abused or cast aside, Jesus came for you. He did not come to heal like the already fixed up and the already well. No. He came to heal the broken, the sick, the hurting. If you're lost today, you can be found with Jesus. He came for you. He came for me. They didn't like what he had to say, but I love what he had to say, because I am one of those. One of those, and maybe you are too. I didn't read this verse in first service. I'm going to read it here. Psalm 77, verses 13 and 14. So two verses. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the Jews. No, it didn't say that. You display your power, or your power just amongst church people. No, it doesn't say that. You display your power amongst the people. Jesus came for everybody. He loves you. He cares for you. He is still a miracle worker. So here's where we end this week one message. It's just my intro. Here's the practical takeaway. I want to encourage you. I'm going to talk to church people for a second. So if you're here for the first time, you can take it for what it is, but I'm talking to church family for a second. Let me encourage you. Don't lose the wonder of Jesus in the cross. Come on, can I speak to your heart for a second? I care less about head stuff. Like, let me get right into your heart. Don't lose the wonder of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for you. Don't lose the thrill of seeing someone surrender their life to Jesus. That. He's just praying again at the end of the service. When's he going to be done praying? I know people need to get saved, but what about lunch, you know? Why are they asking me to serve again? I got to go to church. It's Sunday. I haven't been in a long time. They're going to think I'm such a sinner. I guess I got to go. They're asking me to serve for Easter. Yes, we are going to ask you to serve for Easter. So just get used to it. It's coming. And we can be very persistent, so you might as well just say yes, you know? You get what I'm saying? It's Holy Communion again. It's every month. Same verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We can easily become jaded as Christians. Y'all know I'm speaking the truth. It is so easy to normalize the miraculous. Can I tell you, what God is doing at Christ Covenant, it is not normal. We are a part of a move of God. I talk to pastors in our city and all around the U.S., and what's happening here is not happening everywhere else. To grow and reach more people in the room, online, in the middle of a pandemic where we couldn't meet in person even for months, that's not normal. For marriages to be put back together, people to be saved, discipled, what's happening in our groups, I'm telling you, it's not normal, so don't try to make it normal. It is supernatural what God is doing. And so every single Sunday morning, you should wake up with a twinkle in your eye. I can't wait to get to God's house. I can't wait to see what God does next. I can't wait to see one more come home. I can't wait to see one more marriage restored. I can't wait to see one more person set free. I'm telling you, our services, I gotta get you an organ. Because every single church service, we should have like mini 5-second praise breaks as God is setting people free and healing people. I'm telling you, this is who Jesus is, and this is what he desires to do in us and through us. So Christ's covenant, may we never become cynical. If it happens with other churches, God forbid, may it not happen with us. May we not just be consumers. May we contribute. I make people mad every single time I say this. Sometimes I even like to say things just to stir you up a little bit, just being honest. But you sit in that seat long enough, like your butt's gonna get sore. It's time that you get into the game. It's time that you serve and use the gifts. It's time that you be about the mission of Jesus. May we never be people that we show up to complain. But people that are all in. That Jesus, I see your mission. It's super clear. You said greater things, so I'm going to be about it. That's what I want. That's what I desire. May we never take for granted what's happening in our midst. God is moving. And God is changing lives, and he wants you to be a part of what he's doing. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that we would never become the Church of Nazareth, that God, they took for granted that you were standing right in front of them the whole time. The Messiah they had prayed about and hoped for, longed for. The Messiah they had read about was right in front of them, and they couldn't see past the carpenter's son. Jesus, eventually you said, okay, I'll move miraculously somewhere else. May it never be us. May we be a church that always keeps the wonder of the cross. May we be a church that's always excited to get to your house, to worship in the room online. We may be a church that we get to serve. We don't have to serve. It's not a labor. Yes, it's hard. And yes, it takes some commitment, but it is so worth it. I pray, God, for those greater things. May it be so of Christ's covenant that you move, not to prove yourself. You don't need to do that. But God, you move to set the captive free. That God, the lost, they come home, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. We pray, God, that you would heal the hurting. Pray those without hope, that they would hear the good news, the gospel. And most importantly, the greatest miracle, that people would come to know you, salvation. Moving from death to life. Darkness to your marvelous light. It's why you came. It's what we should continue. Help us to be that church, the church you've called us to be. Greater things. And I pray right now, keep your eyes closed in the room online. I want to give you an opportunity. Anyone that may be living in darkness. I'm going to give you a chance, an opportunity, a moment to come into God's glorious light. To put your faith and trust in Jesus. To forgive you of your sins. To make you new. Check this out, to fulfill his mission in you. It's what he wants for you. So no one looking but me, eyes closed, heads bowed, online as well. Can't see you online, but you still participate. But I can see those of you in this room, if you're here today and you're far from Jesus, but you want to surrender your life to him. Not going to embarrass you, not going to make you stand up, not going to move you to some unknown location in it. Right where you're at, God wants to move in your life. And I want to lead you in a prayer, but first I want to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you, you're far from God and you want to surrender your life to him for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, you just want a fresh commitment. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see it? No one's looking but me. God, you're so good. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Thank you so much. Put your hand down. Don't miss your moment. Respond online as well. God, thank you for the hands lifted in this room online. Thank you. Keep your eyes closed. I'm going to lead you in that prayer, but you're not going to pray it alone. There's going to be people all around you in this room. They're going to lift it up with you. It's a sign of support. I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me, but most importantly, to mean it with all you got, all your heart, all your soul, your mind. Say this out loud. Jesus, come on, say this out loud. Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And so right now, in this moment, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to make me new from the inside out. I put my faith, my trust in you. Jesus, you are who you say you are. And you can do what you say you can do. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And right now, you're saving me, you're healing me, and you're setting me free. In Jesus' name. Come on, say that again. In Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.